Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus. It's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Welcome once again to American Top 40. I'm Casey Kasem, and coming up, we got some hits from the 1970s and 80s.
Yeah, nice try. I've heard you do some good imitations before. That wasn't one of them.
Scoob! How was that? That was Casey Kasem as well. He played Shaggy.
Oh, brother.
I was, before recording, I was on my way home from Menards, and I heard, I was listening to American Top 40. The show came on, and it's like, welcome to American Top 40. I'm Casey Kasem. It just brings me back. I may not be good at impersonations, but I was an avid AT Top 40 listener back in the 80s.
Loved that show.
Yeah,
loved it.
It was on for 4 hours on, I think it was Sunday mornings, and I listened to it, and then I had to go to church, and then I got to come home and hear him finish it out. My dad was a pastor, and so I had to go to church, and then I would tape record. You know, the parts that I couldn't hear.
Oh, that's interesting. So in other words, what you're telling me is that you got clean by going to church and then came right back and got dirty again with American Top 40.
That's right. Well, Casey Kasem, he was a stand-up guy though, right?
Yeah, I don't know if he was sitting down or standing up when he did that show.
Yeah, I don't think they had those stand-up, sit-down desks like we have today. So he probably was sitting down. If he was a proper DJ, like we were.
Although toward the end, you might recall, we had a new console built and we were standing up.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Well, that's funny because, funny how the mind works, because before that, we sat down, but, you know, later on, we were standing up and you can't remember that?
I cannot remember. Well, it was 20 years ago when the last time I was in that radio station.
I know. And it was 25 years ago when you were sitting down in that radio station. That's my point.
Okay.
All right.
Some of us aren't as old as other people here, though. So just so we keep that straight.
So, Joel, I saw something on social media, and, you know, I get a lot of grace-related stuff that I scroll through, and I've had that for years just because of the people who have friended me and so forth. But lately I've been getting some of this legalistic stuff.
Yep.
I guess Facebook somehow thinks it's related to grace because it's from
Christian.
The Bible.
Right.
But so here's one that kind of caught me by surprise. What, and boy, did this take me back decades, but what happens if a believer dies in a backslidden state or condition, have they lost their salvation? Reply with scripture, not opinions. Well, there's a lot of things we could do with this little ball of clay, this lump.
Oh, no doubt about that. Because usually when people reply with scripture, they're replying with their opinion about that scripture.
Exactly. It's a perspective, right?
It's all opinions.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah. Every sermon you go to is pretty much a perspective or a point of view.
Yeah, and we've said that about us. That's when you're listening to us, you're hearing our perspective.
Yeah, we're open about it.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's interesting. Yeah, the whole that whole backsliding thing. I know it's in your past and in my past in the legalistic church. That was quite a big thing. I mean, it was it seemed like the whole Christian life was focused on keeping yourself from backsliding, you know, keeping yourself right with God, and it all had to do with doing the right things, you know. Making sure that you're doing the right thing so that you're not in this backslidden state. And, you know, it's not that it's a word that they made up, because you will find the word backslider in backsliding in the Old Testament scriptures. There's a bunch of references in Jeremiah, and it all depends on which version you're using too, because I know that some versions don't even have that word in there, but like the New King James has a whole bunch of them in Jeremiah. But yeah, and I think there's a lot of good stuff to say about this. Proverbs 14:14 says, "The backslider in his heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above." Well, just and even that part's filled in. It wasn't in the original text. The backslider in his heart will be filled in his own ways, but a good man from above. So it's not even it doesn't even tie this idea. And we'll talk what, you know, backsliding means, but it's not even saying that it's a salvation thing. It's just that in Proverbs, he's saying the backslider in heart, he's going to be filled with his own ways. I mean, you're just going to be focused on yourself, your own ways and all that stuff. But he says a good man, you'll be filled basically from above with, you know, he's talking about what your life, what your daily living will be like. It's not about eternal salvation or anything like that. And then even in Jeremiah, a bunch of references, I won't even get into them, but it's basically saying, like Jeremiah 2, your own wickedness will correct you and your backsliding will rebuke you. In other words, as I see it, under that law mindset, Jeremiah is talking about how the things that they do, they'll suffer the consequences of the things that they do. And that's just normal everyday living. You know, that's not a salvation issue. So much more to say about all this stuff, but these are some of the references I looked at as we were getting ready to talk about this.
Yeah. Before my grace days, I guess that backsliding was a common word in my vocabulary, my Christian vocabulary. And I hadn't even heard the word for a long time. So, so it took me back a little bit because I was one of those people who thought you could lose your salvation. Now, I suppose there's a variety of different thoughts and viewpoints on this. Some might think you can backslide without losing your salvation, but many believe that you can get to a point where you just lose it. You're out. You're out on the street, kicked out, not invited to the dinner, and, you know, take a cab to hell. I mean, we've discussed this briefly before in that I could give all of the right scriptures, Joel, to prove my point, to give my opinion, to provide a perspective. Showing people, again, this was decades ago, but showing people why I believed that you could lose your salvation based upon your do's and your don'ts and how you lived your life and all of that. I had chapters and verses and I could make it, I could put them all together and make it make sense.
Right.
And at the very least, I would have people wondering or, you know, embracing what I was telling them. It just made sense in my mind. But when the grace of God hit me, you know, in between the eyes and through the heart, everything began to change. And like many of our grace listening friends out there, how many times have you looked at something in the Bible through the eyes of grace and started kind of scratching your head thinking, why didn't I see this before?
Right.
Why didn't I hear about this before? Why didn't I relate to this in the way that I can see it now? It's just amazing. And that's a spirit thing, as we've talked about here recently. That's just God in you. And I know you're probably thinking, well, why didn't he tell me this before? Well, maybe he was. Maybe it just took a while for you to get it. Maybe it was a timing thing. I don't know. But that's a good question because I spent, over 20 years kind of in a legalistic mindset. And so many people today, where we want to go with this here, Joel, I think, we want to bring some reassurance to people here. Many people today probably some listening right now, no doubt. They are in a place where they wonder where they stand with God. And to define that just a little bit further, you might be wondering, am I truly saved? Am I okay with God? Am I right with Him? Is my eternity secure? Have I botched something up to do something that might hurt that? And so imagine, you mentioned something on a recent program. I think we were talking about forgiveness here a few weeks ago. And you had mentioned a post that you had put on social media. And I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, but when it came to the issue of God forgiving us, why don't you just go to God and say, I'm sorry, I don't believe the blood of Jesus was enough. Mm-hmm. So, right. And that's kind of what it boils down to here, not just on the subject of forgiveness, but the bigger picture of an eternal redemption, an eternal salvation. Because we could ask the same thing. Was what Jesus did at the cross, was it enough? Did it get the job done? Or does something still depend upon you and me to see it through, to close the deal? And if that's the case, then as Paul said in Galatians 2, Jesus basically died in vain. He died for no purpose. If it comes down to us having to do something to secure our own salvation, he's the Savior.
So yeah.
If it's the other way around, if there's something we can do to backslide and lose that eternal identity as a believer in Christ, if there's something we can do to mess that up, then Jesus didn't do enough. Then he really didn't need to come in the first place. And yeah. And this title of Savior, it shouldn't belong to him. So I'm just throwing some nuggets out there, Joel. There's more to be said, but I'll let you say something.
Well, he's that is a big that he's the Savior. He came to save. I sometimes picture it. Somebody's out on a lake or on a river. When I lived in a town called Waverly, I lived right across the river where it was almost down, about 3 blocks down to where there was a dam. And sometimes the water would get pretty rough at the bottom there. And I picture somebody struggling to get out of there, if someone had gone over, because we would press our luck sometimes, so to speak, my friends and I, we'd go swimming in the river. We'd go up the river and then take rafts and stuff all the way down to around in front of my house. But sometimes we'd go a little bit farther, get a little bit close to that thing, and it could have been dangerous. But if somebody would have come to save us, that person is the Savior. I'm not the one who saved myself. If I would have gone over that dam, I'm not the one who saved myself. Somebody else saved me. Not because of anything I did, but because I was a stupid person who did a stupid thing. And somebody came and saved me. This didn't really happen, but I'm like Paul. I'm talking in the present tense, even though it didn't really happen to me. But in the first person. Anyway, so Jesus is the Savior, and he said in the famous encounter with Nicodemus, John 3, everybody focuses on John 3:16, which is great, but let's back up to 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him, he doesn't add any qualification to this, whoever believes in him and does good works, whoever believes in him and gets baptized, whoever believes in him and makes sure that they stay right with God, whoever believes in him and endures to the end. That's another one that another verse in Matthew 24 that gets taken out of context. People thinking they have to endure, as in keep doing good stuff to the end, and otherwise they won't be saved. But very simply, he who believes in him, whoever believes in him, should not perish but have eternal life. Those are the words of Jesus, and that's the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So your everlasting life is based upon whoever believes in him. That's it. And then this is the one, you know, if we keep reading, a lot of times this doesn't happen, but this is so good. Verse 17, the next verse. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus came to save. He came to save you. He's not pointing a finger at you when you do bad things. He's not condemning you. He came to save you in all the stupid things that we do, and even in our self-righteousness, people who have tried and tried to do good works in order to stay in God's good graces and in order to stay right with God. It's not about that. It's just if they believe, then they are saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned, is verse 18, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Is it because they've done bad things? Is it because they do horrible things and they keep sinning? No, it's because he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So the point here to highlight is that Jesus came to save. He came to save us, not to condemn. And so our security is in him as our Savior, as the Messiah, as the one who saves. And it's not in our attempts at trying to stay right with him.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because the whole backsliding thing, Joel, we live in Iowa, and in the wintertime, you know, we get snow. And something I used to like to do when I was younger was go sledding down the hill.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times going down the hill, I'd fall off my sled and I would slide down the hill on my back.
Yes, I've done that many times.
And I thought that's what backsliding was.
Backsliding.
It's kind of like cow tipping here in Iowa.
Cow tipping.
It's anyway. So you get down to the bottom of the hill.
Or do you do 15% or 18% when you tip your cows?
Oh. Well, of course, I tithe to the cows. But
it's a sacred cow we're not going to talk about right now.
I'd get to the bottom of the hill. Oh, that was a great ride. I'd get to the bottom of the hill, whether I was on the sled or backsliding down the hill. And then you work your way back up through the deep snow and your boots and your winter gear and all that. You go all the way up to the top and you think, I got here. And then you start sliding back down again. That was my life as a Christian.
Yes.
Up and down, up and down. You know, Paul said, he said a lot of things in chapters 1-4 of the book of Romans, but then he came to this point based on what he had said for four chapters, and he said, therefore, and that's the key with that word. You know he was talking about something he had just said. Therefore, Romans 5:1, having been justified by works. Oh, no, hold on. I got the wrong translation
there
here.
There you go.
Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I'm not sure how much rejoicing I was doing when I wondered where I stood with God when I had my covenants mixed up, and I probably even never hardly heard the word covenant.
Right, yeah.
But that's what a lot of this is involving. It's getting two different covenants mixed up because they're all contained in one Bible, and it's all one book, right? And so people kind of get thrown off that way. I was one of those people. So to know from within, we have peace with God. Now, sometimes you might think you're not experiencing that, but you have peace with God. And that peace was declared by God as early as the time of the birth of Jesus. Even before that, in the Old Testament, there are prophecies pointing to Jesus. But, you know, when the shepherds were out there and the angels came out and the heavenly host was singing and God at that point was declaring peace unto mankind. And so we have that now through him. You know, the Apostle John said this in John 5:13, 1 John 5:13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. See, if you don't know, if you're not sure, what kind of peace is that going to bring, right? And so... You just shouldn't have to put yourself through that kind of torture just because of a bunch of misunderstood, taken out of context, little Bible verses that get thrown around, people leapfrogging off one chapter to the next and trying to convince you that you need to be doing more. The problem is, as we pointed out numerous times here, it doesn't matter which book of the Bible we're talking about. The problem is, how can you, aside from what we just talked about here, peace with God, God came to save the world, not condemn or judge it. I'm writing these things so that you may know you have eternal life. You can't know if you think it's based upon things that you do or don't do. And what defines a backslider? Another one of those little generic things. Joel might have been told to read one chapter of the Bible every week, and so that became his standard. Mine might have been, I'm supposed to read 10 chapters a day. That became my standard. And if we start falling short of what we think is the standard, then we feel like we're backsliding, that we're out of God's good graces, or we don't go to church enough, or we don't give enough, or we don't do this enough, we swear too much, we, you know, whatever. And so what is it that is going to bring somebody to a, number one, backslidden state, number two, and more significant, to a place where you would lose your salvation? It's what you and I do as believers in Christ. Are you kidding me? Do you think there's something we can do that will nullify the blood of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross? That, yeah, I don't want to be too harsh here, but I'm trying to be encouraging here, Joel. let's not put ourselves in that place to where we're implying that Jesus didn't do enough, and let the Holy Spirit work with that from within.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know. I think there's probably more to be said about all this, the security that we have in Christ and in our salvation. Let's maybe talk some more about this coming up next week on the Growing in Grace podcast.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.